Chapter 1. Alder. Nothing good ever came from one of my men barging into my office, especially not when they started the conversation with the acknowledgement that we had a problem. "We've got a problem, boss." Nothing good. If I hadn't already been in a foul mood, those words would have gotten me there. "What is it now?" "Motorcycle gang up on Widow's Ridge." Camden Reese, born and bred in Justice, friend of my youngest brother's and former Marine sergeant, launched into a speech about his team running into some bikers up by the Hansen property. We'd recently signed a contract with Miss Hansen to harvest 80 acres of dead ponderosa pine on that hill, so anything getting in our way was definitely a problem. A big one. As Camden laid out the events of the altercation, I checked over the satellite images of the area on my desk, making notes and marking locations. A star on the house to the west where the elderly Miss Hansen still lived. Another to the east on the patch of earth where a trailer sat. All alone. The only two residences up that long, rough stretch of road, leading to a drop-off on the far west side. That rocky piece of land set just outside the city limits. So things like road maintenance were all but forgotten, unless the two residents brought them to my attention. No biker would intentionally ride up such a rutted gravel road without a reason. Too hard on their bike and their face, if they were trailing someone else. "He tried to call out Finn, but I squashed that shit," Camden said, securing every bit of my attention for the moment. "What the fuck was Finn doing on a job?" My brother didn't work for me except for the occasional project, and I knew for a fact he hadn't been assigned to the Hansen job. "He'd driven with me to check in on Miss Hansen. We never made it out there, though, because we ran into the bikers on the way up. One guy said some shit about Finn's drug days, how they missed him over at the strip club in Rock Falls." "Jesus. You get a name?" "Patch on his vest said Spark." Spark. I sat back, balancing my chair on two legs. "As in plug?" Camden blinked, a cocky smile breaking across his face. "Yeah, like plug. I didn't see the other guy's name." "So Spark knows Finn from what? 10, 12 years ago? From the time before, as we called it? Before prison and recovery? Before he sobered up? He looked familiar to you?" Cam shook his head. "Never seen him." That caught my attention. Justice was a small town planted squarely between two slightly larger towns, all in the middle of fucking nowhere. People didn't happen into Justice. They came here for a reason. And if that reason was named Finn Kennard, Spark and his friend needed to be dealt with and quick. How'd my brother handle the run-in?
Finn ignored the bullshit from Spark. I wasn't as restrained.
Not surprising. Cam always did have a temper. If the sheriff gets called again on you, Cam waved me off.
I knocked his legs out from under him and put him on the ground. Didn't even leave a mark, I don't think. But I made my point.
And what point was that? Not that I needed to ask.
That Kennard Mills will be harvesting the lumber on that side of the hill, and their club had better not have any business up there. They drove off after Spark picked himself up off the dirt. The other guy saying something about bigger fish.
Camden frowned.
I recognized the other guy.
Local? I couldn't think of anyone in Justice who rode with an MC, but I might have missed someone. 300-plus people were a lot to keep track of.
No. He came into the truck stop one night when Lee and I were there for dinner.
He blew out a breath and shifted his weight. An almost unconscious gesture, but one that stood out. Normally almost confident to a fault, Cam suddenly seemed nervous, which meant I wouldn't like what he had to say. "Yeah?" I prodded, wondering how a night out with his wife would piss me off.
"Lee noticed something was up when she went to the restroom and came to get me. The asshole had Shy cornered in a back hallway and wasn't letting her pass."
The snap of the pencil I'd been holding breaking in two might as well have been a gunshot.
"And you let him walk away?" "I had Lee and Shy looking on. I had to."
Picturing perfect little Shy,
At least 10 years my junior, and so damn sweet. Every one of her smiles would give you a toothache. Watching as I kicked the shit out of some asshole was about as unappealing as a thought could get. I probably would have wanted to do the same as Camden, and let the guy walk with a warning if I'd been there. I wouldn't have, but I'd have wanted to. Because I wanted her. And the idea of Shy being scared of me made my guts sink like a rock. I sighed, rubbing my forehead and sitting deeper into my chair, bringing all four legs back to the floor. I need to stop thinking about Shy Anderson. An impossibility as of late, which directly correlated to why my mood had been so foul all day. All right. So they rode off after you knocked Spark to the ground. Any indication they keep hassling you or come back for Finn? He shrugged. Not really. Though you never know with these types of guys. Lawless, clan-like, arrogant. Yeah. You never knew a damn thing with them. Did you recognize the club logo? Definitely the Soulsuckers. Of course. I'd heard they'd added a clubhouse not too far over the county line to the west. I probably wouldn't have thought twice if I'd seen their bikes on the highway through town, or heading toward the new restaurant on Main Street. I would now, though. Might be time to set the club straight on what they can and can't do as they ride through Justice. I'll talk to Deacon, see if he knows anyone. Head back to the ridge and get the Hansen site plot worked out so we can start cruising and marking trees. This might be our last big harvest before the rains come, and I want to take advantage of the summer weather while we have it. We'll get it done. Good. And if you see Bishop on the mill floor, have him call me. Camden nodded, then left without another word, leaving me to stew over this new mess. Fucking messes all over the place lately, it seemed. I looked over my satellite images again, tracing roads and logging paths I'd known my whole life. Acres of Widow's Ridge pine forest stared back at me, a molted brown and green landscape. Half the trees stood dead or dying, a sign of the mountain beetle infestation that had nearly bankrupted my late father and destroyed Kennard Mills. But the bug that had nearly killed us failed, and had instead left us flush with jobs and cash. The droughts hadn't stopped this mill, the industry collapse hadn't either, and the fucking plague of beetles killing the forests around us had actually been a boon instead of a death knell. Everyone in Justice had enjoyed the bonuses beating our sales plans every month brought, and no fucking bikers would make us end that streak. I had a town to employ. But Justice, Colorado was more than a town to me. It was my responsibility. The place my ancestors had planted our family tree. Where they attended to each and every resident over the years, giving families time to grow good, strong roots. Kennard men had run Justice like a homestead for nearly 2 centuries, with the mill as the central business fueling everything else. And I live up to the legacy set before me as the oldest living Kennard. That meant making sure people had jobs, food, shelter, and that they felt safe. Another thing bikers wouldn't be taking away from us, even though it seemed as if they were trying just that. An annoying robotic song interrupted my thoughts. The words Bishop Kennard, name of my closest brother, who also happened to be my VP of sales and marketing, flashed on the screen of my phone as it played that stupid song again. I swiped to answer and brought the device to my ear. Bishop, Camden said you wanted me, he said, not bothering with a greeting. We've got trouble on Widow's Ridge. I heard. Finn all right? Because as the second oldest Kennard brother, our family would be the first thing on Bishop's mind, as it should be. Camden thinks so. Let's run by the bar tonight and be sure, though. And I'll need you to check in on Miss Hansen. Make sure she's okay out there. Sounds good. I'll call as soon as we hang up. Anything else? Sell some fucking lumber, Bishop. On it, boss. I'll be ready to go at 6. I tossed the phone back onto my desk, the map snagging my attention again. One spot in particular, actually, and not the one belonging to Miss Hansen. I ran a finger over the east side of the hill, circling the little trailer that sat on a barren flat piece of rock. Just outside the city limits, it technically rested beyond my protective net. But Shy Anderson lived in that trailer. New girl in town had only 3 years since she moved to the area. Waitress at the truck stop over in Rock Falls. and the only woman I'd ever met who could drive me mad with frustration and desire all at once. I'd been ultra-aware of Shy since I first met her. Slightly obsessed, really. The girl captivated me, stole all my attention with her sweet little smile, and never let me go. It didn't hurt that she looked like a damn angel. Long blonde hair and big dark eyes. A tiny little body that I wanted to get my hands on more than anything else. Sweet as honey, that one, but she lived up to her name. She blushed and stuttered around me, avoided my eyes when I tried to catch her gaze. If I pushed too much, she ran, so I held back, made myself available, but waited for her to come to me. Which was how I ended up eating at the truck stop 5 nights a week, all on Shy's shifts. I'd had to up my workouts to keep from getting soft on all the grease and baked goods, but seeing that smile every night was worth it. The coffee, man, that was a harder pill to swallow. How a restaurant, especially one based out of a truck stop, could have such bad coffee was beyond me. I drank cup after cup of the foul brew, so she'd come to my table more often to pour me refills. Without the coffee, I didn't get much time with Shy, so I suffered. And when I worked, I sent my guys in there. Shy had no family in Justice, so I made sure everyone understood they were to treat her as they would a canard. Making my men see her as mine kept them watchful around her. Hell, I paid Bishop to eat his lunches there so he could keep an eye on her, and everyone on my team headed that way at least once a day if I had to go out of town. They mocked me relentlessly for chasing her around like a damned puppy, but I didn't give a shit. I needed to know she was happy and safe, that she had everything she needed, even if she wasn't ready to willingly take things from me yet. We'd get there. 3 years I'd waited for her to come around. And she would. Eventually. I just had to figure out the right plan. As I pondered honey blonde hair, sugary smiles, and how many times I could use the excuse of working on the ridge to stop and see her at her place, my phone rang again. Camden this time. I swiped to answer and hit the button for speakerphone. If you tell me we have another problem, I'm going to toss a grenade in your truck. So I shouldn't tell you we've got a fire on the mountain? Motherfucker. The trouble with harvesting the blue-stained wood left behind by the mountain beetle infestation was the trees needed to cure standing for a number of years. But dead trees meant dry trees. And with the droughts of the past few years and the mild winters we've had, that meant trouble. Big, dry, tinder-type trouble. A single lightning bolt could ignite an inferno, while a forest fire could destroy the whole damn town. And apparently, we had one to deal with. Where? I grabbed my keys and pressed the mill floor alarm to get the team's attention. Eastern Slope. Just past the Hansen property. My steps stumbled, then sped. That's by Shy's place. An engine roared in the background. I'm already on my way there. 2 minutes out. She could be hurt in 2 minutes. Dead. Jesus, fuck, I was too far away. Drive faster. I hung up and stormed down onto the mill floor. My team stood at attention, looking at me expectantly, ready to fight the fires we knew could ruin everything we'd all built here. Fire just east of the Hansen site. Let's get 2 water trucks up on the eastern side of the ridge and send 1 up to the west side to be safe. I met the eyes of Gage Shepard, former Navy SEAL like Bishop, and current heavy machinery engineer of Kennard Mills. It's close to Shy's place. Without another word, Gage began issuing orders to the team. He understood the severity of the situation from every angle. The loss of our product, the potential for destruction in the town, and the possibility that the woman I had my eye on could be in danger. He'd get shit done for me. As Gage loaded the water trucks with oxygen tanks and medical equipment, something that made my gut churn, his dog Rex trotted after him, looking as if he was headed for a joyride instead of into a fire. Wouldn't be the first time he'd been on site at a fire, though. Gage never went anywhere without Rex. While Gage made sure the team knew where to go and what to do, I raced to my truck. My heart pounded as I started the engine and peeled out of my spot, heading for the ridge where smoke was beginning to turn the sky black above the tree line. Fuck. If Shy was up there, if she was hurt. I didn't get to finish my thought because my phone rang right as I turned onto the highway heading toward the mountain. Camden again. "Tell me good news." "She's not here," Camden said, sounding slightly out of breath. "It's her trailer on fire, though. The water trucks are on the way. Don't think they'll do any good for her, to be honest. But we need them for the tree line. It's so dry up here, a single spark could set the whole mountain on fire." Confirming my earlier thoughts. Fuck. I yanked the wheel sideways, making a sharp turn onto the road that would take me up to Shy's place, looking over all the dead brown pine on the hillside as I flew over the rutted gravelly path through the woods. Gage had the team rolling out right behind me. They're like 4 minutes out, though. Want me to call the fire department in Rock Falls? Wouldn't do any good at that point, which was why Kennard Mills had as many water hauling trucks as we did. No use, though you'd better call the sheriff. That useless piece of shit? What for? Useless wasn't the term I'd use. Corrupt sounded better for the county sheriff we were forced to deal with. I didn't have time to correct Camden, though. He'll throw a tantrum if he's not informed. Knowing him, he won't come out to investigate anyway. Just make the call. Yeah, got it. Hang on. Voices yelled in the background, and the sound of Camden moving fast created static on the line. Cam, we've got a problem. That phrase spoken about my girl's place made me want to growl my frustration to the universe. What fucking problem? There are motorcycle tracks in the dirt around her property. Lots of them. Rage unlike anything I'd felt exploded in my chest. Call the sheriff and put the word out. Anyone sees a fucking soul sucker in justice, I want to know about it. I hung up and threw my phone across the bench seat before taking the switchback turn faster than I should have. Not that the worry burning in my gut had anything to do with me. Shy owned that ache. Shy may not have known it, but she was mine. I'd do whatever it took to protect her. And if this fucking motorcycle club had threatened my girl, I'd gut them and leave their bodies for the predators.
Chapter 2. Some days, you came home from running errands to a quiet living room, an overpriced frozen dinner, and a plan of watching bad reality television until it was time to leave for your night shift. Others, you came home to your trailer on fire. Or the charred remnants of one, really. The kind of ashy smokiness that indicated the heat had been hot enough to melt metal and destroy lives. Not that mine hadn't already been through the ringer once or twice. I'll take how can my life get any worse for $500. Today was supposed to be the first kind of day. A lazy, easy, and totally normal Wednesday in justice, but had turned into the second as soon as I'd started up the mountain road home. My trailer, the cheap single wide I'd been renting from my stepbrother for close to 3 years, had burned where it stood. Though, if I was being honest, it hadn't just burned. That fire had devoured my crappy little place. It was a miracle the whole forest hadn't gone up with it, what with how dry the mountain was. But as I took in the scene of destruction before me, I saw how it wasn't so much a miracle as a well-trained, dedicated team of loggers watering the ground and keeping the fire from spreading. I pulled to a stop at the end of my gravel drive, hopped out of my car, and rushed past the Kennard Mills vehicles half-circling the spot where my trailer had once sat. It couldn't be a good thing that the local sawmill team had made it to my place before any sort of firemen. Of course, being the town of Justice had no local fire responders of our own, and had to rely on other cities or the county for them, that delay shouldn't have surprised me. Pissed me off, sure. Surprised? Nope. The reality of living in the middle of nowhere. Justice, Colorado, population 348. Maybe 347 after this fire. Where would I live now? I'd have to call my stepbrother and tell him what had happened, but that idea sent rivers of ice up my spine. My boss would probably put me up for a few weeks while I figured everything out, but that meant moving to the next county over, something I had no interest in doing. True, Justice was tiny and completely off the beaten trail, but I loved it. I also loved the fact that the Kennard family, who owned the sawmill just about everyone in Justice worked at, ran the place like a military base. Lots of rules, lots of big, burly men in flannel watching your every move, lots of people to keep each other safe. I couldn't go a day without running into a Kennard Mills guy. I'd miss that sense of security if I left. The smoke blew on the breeze, burning my eyes and drying out my mouth as my thoughts turned to what I'd already lost instead of what I might if I left. Everything. I had lost every single thing that I wasn't holding or wearing, from my furniture to my toothbrush, all gone. How did that happen? I hadn't noticed stumbling toward the smoldering remnants of my life, had been too stuck in my thoughts about clothes and beds and those brand new towels I hadn't even used yet, to realize I was moving forward. Yet I did just that. Moved closer to the hot, smoky mess emitting noxious fumes. But before I stepped foot on the dead grass of what I jokingly called my front lawn, a pair of strong arms wrapped around me. They pulled me off my feet and against a chest so big and solid there were only a few men it could belong to, and only one man I both wanted and dreaded it would be. "Don't go any closer, honey. There's nothing you can save at this point." Dread won out. Ugh, that voice, that smell. I knew them. Alder Kennard, owner of Kennard Mills, biggest, toughest-looking man I'd ever seen, and star of every one of my fantasies for the past 3 years, had me in his embrace. He surrounded me, carrying me as if I weighed nothing, making my entire body melt into him as he held me tight. How many times had I dreamed about that very thing, about him picking me up and carrying me off, keeping me safe as he called me honey? He may have called every woman in Justice that endearment. I didn't care, so long as he kept touching me, kept rubbing his thumb along my shoulder, kept those hard, hard muscles pressed against me. I shivered, heat pooling between my legs and my nipples tightening under my thin t-shirt, while my trailer burned to the ground. Bad timing, Shy. Reluctantly, I pushed out of Alder's hold until my feet hit the ground again. I had to, because I needed to keep my wits about me, and because the idea of Alder being anything more than a concerned, protective neighbor was a pipe dream, one I couldn't afford to entertain. If he seemed reluctant to let me go, well, that had to be his protective nature. The guy cared about his town and the residents. He might as well have been the mayor, the chief of police, and the fire department all rolled into one huge, handsome package. Him not wanting to see me burned alive had nothing to do with me in particular, no matter how much I wished it did. Turning, I met those steely blue eyes that seemed to pierce my soul every time he looked my way. And with as much as I stared at him, he tended to look my way a lot. I sucked at covert glances. "What happened?" I asked, fighting not to fall under his spell. Alder seemed to reach for me, but then checked himself, dropping his arm before he could touch me. Something shadowy passed over his face. "Camden called the office about smoke on the mountain. When we got here, your place was already burning. We notified the sheriff, but..." "How long?" He didn't need clarification. No one in Justice would. "I'd guess 15 minutes before Camden would have been able to see the smoke. Probably close to an hour since we called the sheriff." Which meant my place had probably been burning for over 2 hours at that point, about the same length I'd been gone. 120 minutes to go from a trailer full of shitty junk that matched my shitty life to nothing at all. If I thought tears could do anything other than make me feel worse, I would have cried. "I didn't realize I'd been gone that long," I said, my voice weak. Alder looked about as sick as I felt.
"Jesus, Shy, you had me worried when we couldn't find you. Where have you been?"
"Rock Falls, I was running errands." The reality of my situation slammed into me like a freight train, and I nearly doubled over. All of my stuff, my whole life was in there. A frown marred the perfectness of his mouth. "Your stuff can be replaced." That was easy for Alder to say. He'd never wanted for anything. Me? All I did was want. But what could I expect? The Kennard name meant something around these parts. According to Justice history, the Kennard family had settled this land centuries ago, setting up a sawmill to process the abundance of pine on the hillsides around us. They'd made a fortune right up until the lumber market crashed. Then the mountain pine beetle epidemic had almost put them out of business. Almost, until Alder had returned from his stint in the army and turned the business around. But really, how he ended up so wealthy didn't matter. He had money, and I had nothing but a debt I doubted I'd ever finish paying off, a body no one would want to touch if they saw the damage to it, and a rental agreement for a trailer older than I was, sitting on a rocky, scrubby mountainside. Used to have that trailer, at least. Now I had nothing, except the scars and the debt that led to them. A massive boulder of a man stormed around one of the trucks, and I took an instinctive step back, bumping into Alder in the process. I would have been thrilled by the way Alder's hands settled on my hip to support me if it weren't for the fear screaming through my brain. Gage Shepherd, every bearded, muscled bit of him, pounded the earth as he walked, his steps heavy and distinct, his moves harsh. Thick, wild hair, eyes too dark to seem real, and ink running from wrist to throat and everywhere in between completed the picture of the scariest man I'd ever met. Gage's dog, Rex, followed behind him like always, practically skipping over the rocky ground. The two of them went everywhere together, including a fire, apparently. Rex looked to be a mutt of indeterminate heritage, but he had a quick tail wag for just about anyone, and a demeanor that made you want to drop to your knees and rub his belly. Totally opposite of his always scowling owner. Next to Alder, Gage almost seemed normal human-sized, though that really said more about Alder's build. Both tall, wide, and thick all over, but opposite as well. Gage's dark hair and beard contrasted with Alder's lighter hair and clean-shaven jaw. The differences weren't simply aesthetic, though. While Alder's size intimidated, he didn't scare me like Gage did. At least not in a he's-going-to-hurt-me way. More in an if-I-let-go-for-a-second-I'd-probably-fall-in-love-with-him way. Gage was a different story. The man looked positively lethal, like death coming to snatch you if you so much as put a toe out of line. You could feel the danger clinging to his skin as he walked past, sense the predator in your midst. Gage terrified me in the same way a shark would, and for the same reason. I wasn't top of the food chain with him around. Gage didn't even bother to flick a glance my way, focusing on Alder instead. Char marks along the back indicate an accelerant. Alder's jaw ticked, his eyes going hard. A fucking arsonist injustice. We figure out who set the fire and I'll take care of it. Alder held Gage's black gaze with ease, obviously comfortable with the threat by his side. Camden said he had a run-in with a couple of guys earlier today up on this road, members of that motorcycle club, Soul Suckers. That'd be my guess. My blood had never turned so cold so fast. Soul Suckers, the motorcycle club with a brand new clubhouse in the next county, the group I knew far too well because of who my stepbrother was, who my father had been to them. Up until that point, I'd figured my trailer had burned because of some sort of electrical issue. The place would have been called a dump a decade before I moved in, so it seemed a logical assumption. But Soul Suckers hanging around not long before the blaze? That definitely seemed like a warning, a punishment even, something I knew too much about. Shaking, I took a step away from the two hulking men, putting space between us. How did Camden see them, and this? What was he doing up here? This isn't technically Justice land. Alder's heavy brow furrowed as if wanting to argue my point. Camden's been prepping a new lumber site up the road. Which meant he'd been out in the woods, the ones I was supposed to keep a watch over. The day kept getting worse. New site?
Miss Hansen sold us 80 acres of her eastern slope. Most likely because of the trees on that isolated, deeply forested piece of property. The dead ones. The Kennard's current moneymaker. Under Alder's guidance, Kennard Mills took what should have been seen as worthless and made something out of it, from what I understood. Alder saw opportunity in those dead trees. I saw more death coming, more negatives, like the fact that all the forests the Kennards harvested were a major forest fire threat because of how dry the dead trees were that clung to the hillsides, and the ugliness of the brown pine needles on what should have been a green slope. But that was neither here nor there. I had bigger things to worry about, as always.